happy to be in church with you tonight. The first Sunday of 2024. Just a couple of you are like, whoa, 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 dragging your knuckles already. Oh man, God is good. I'm excited for this year. This is a year where we're going to take ground. Take ground, and we're going to talk more about that over the season. But you know what? I just want to celebrate something with you real quickly. In 2023, friends, because of what of your partnership, because of your showing up day in and day out and praying over this church and fasting at the beginning of the year and saying, God, I'm all in and I want to be a servant of the Most High God. And you've been opening doors and parking and loading speakers. And because of what you and I have been able to do together, Apple Love City Church, we've seen 141 total recommitments to Jesus in 2023. That's why, yeah, give God a hand. God, it's you that deserves all the glory. 141 people said, you know, I'm giving my life back to God. I haven't been all in and I'm all in it again. We had 35 total new salvation responses. People say, I'm in, Pastor Chris. I want to follow Jesus tonight in 2023. 35 people. All of heaven rejoiced over those 35 people. And we 13 baptism, 13 people said, I'm all in, as they walked into a watery grave we call baptism and were risen to new life in Jesus Christ in 2023. Guess what? 2023, friends, we were holding ground. Can you imagine what's going to happen this year when we take ground? To see those baptisms quadruple, to see those new salvation responses by a hundredfold. God, we're trusting you for great things in 2024. Is there anyone with me in this year? Man, I'm excited for what God's gonna do. So good. Well, welcome to church, everyone. I'm so glad that we're here. If we haven't yet, as Kevin said, my name is Chris. My wife, Angela, and I are the lead pastors here at Beloved City Church. And we have two awesome young adult children, Drew and Ariana, who are also in the room here with us and who are also faithful in their response to God's call to grow a thriving and life-giving church in this city. This city needs Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's right. This city needs Jesus. And we're growing a thriving and life-giving church with an emphasis of relating to the younger, unchurched, and de-churched population in this city. That's why the genre of music is a little bit of a hip-hop. That's why there's a little bit of bump in our step. That's why it's louder than usual and it's darker than normal. Because remember, we have an emphasis of reaching the next generation of this city that needs Jesus desperately. See, if we can change the next generation, we can change generations 2 and 3 and 4 ahead of us. I want my great-grandkids to know Jesus. Is there anyone here with me? Man, the grandkids that are in this room are struggling with all kinds of things that we want to see changed in the generation to come. We want your kids. That seems like a long ways off. But guess what? When I was your age, I felt like that was a lifetime. And before you know, bam, bam, I got 2 teenage kids who look like big adults. Actually, Drew's not a teenager anymore. It happens so fast, but what we want to do is we want to be a church that's prophetic, that sees the next generation, speaking life into you and over the next generation to come after you and into your marriages and into your relationships and your friendships, into your jobs and your career paths. That's what we want to speak life into. Is that okay? And this generation is going to stand on the shoulders of us, friends. Is that okay? We want to take the heat for them. Oh man, I'm just excited about the next generation of Jesus followers. See, God calls families, and we are committed to growing and going together as a spiritual family on mission to make a difference together in this city. We are for our city. And friends, it might not always look the same forever. We won't look this small. We won't even be in a building this small. We probably won't even be on this side of town. Maybe we'll have 2 churches in Nanaimo. I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's not going to look the same. I promise you, it has never and it never will. Why? Because we serve a changing God. God doesn't change, but he changes us. And he changes our city. And he changes the things that we are doing in our hearts and our minds. And because he cares so much about seeing more people come to know Jesus. Is that all right, Tony? Oh, man. Tony's in my amen corner. Wow. We're here to faithfully serve the same God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he's about up to change some things in our hearts and lives. Are you okay with that this week? So one of the things that we do consistently every year, kids, I just about forgot. Thank goodness I get text messages on my computer. You kids, you ready for church? All right, kids, you can go to church. I'm just preaching up a storm about you. God bless these children. Bless these teachers, Jesus. Speak to them. Change their hearts forever, God. So good. Thanks, Lord. So one of the things that we consistently do here at Beloved every year is we kick off the year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. And some of you already left the building, but that's okay. We're going to pray and fast anyways. We want to start every year off with seeking the heart and the voice of God. So I've got a slide for you. It's already up there, I think. And January 7th, today, the 28th, we're going to wrap up on the Sunday, the 28th, but you can wrap up the day before if you want. It is 21 days. But we see this 21 days of prayer and fasting first mentioned in Scripture in the book of Daniel, where Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days. Real simple, right? He saw God open up the heavens in his life, friends. And he was able to confront the enemy in a powerful way. Man, if you got some things going on in your life, you've been doubting God, you've been fighting back, you've been doing whatever, 21 days of prayer. Daniel said, I'm giving you God this 21 days of prayer. And the heavens were opened over Daniel. Maybe you're looking for some provision in your life. Maybe you're looking for some victory in your life. Maybe you're looking for that woman who's like going to be the woman of your dreams, whatever it might be, friends. Maybe you're looking for some financial provisions or maybe some healing in your body. God says, hey, if you will humble yourselves and fast and pray, I will heal your lands. I'll take care of some business. And so this is what Daniel did. And he saw God open up the heavens and confront the enemy in his life in a powerful way. And we are believing for the same thing over the next 21 days, friends. So come on out with us on Monday night. We're going to have some time of prayer that we'll be praying individually. And then we'll be praying corporately. And we'll have some guided prayers, a little bit of music, not a whole lot. But we want to focus on praying and talking to God. And if you're new to our church, what this means is we're asking all of us to fast, which I'll be teaching a little bit about in today's teaching. But we're also encouraging you to come to our prayer services, whether you consider yourself as just learning to pray, don't even know what it means to pray, you're looking for a prayer book, a prayer guide. Hey, we got some of that for you too as well. It's okay. We want you to come on, novice or prayer warriors. Come on out and pray with us and fill this front row and let's talk to God. So that's the next 3 Mondays, like you heard from Kevin, 7 p.m. to 8:30. We'll have you back to bed before you turn into a pumpkin. I trust me. It's okay. See, prayer is simply communicating with God. And your communication with God is vital to your relationship with God and with one another. So I desperately want you and I to be a people who know how to pray. And not just know how, but also to enjoy praying. Here, who in the room knows how to enjoy praying? You don't have to lift your hands, but I know there's something in you yearning is, I want to enjoy this because it kind of feels like a chore sometimes for some, right? So come on, let's jump on as we learn how to pray first. Beloved City Church is a church that will be built on prayer, that is built on prayer. And our desire for you in this season is to come and learn how to pray. Let's pray. Let's go together. Let's pray and fast together. Can you imagine learning how to have a conversation with your loved ones, but not really enjoying it? I know some of you had an afternoon like that already. You don't really ever take time to converse maybe or to enjoy. Well, it's just because it's so draining maybe for you. Some of our relationships are like that, and I get it, but your relationship with God doesn't have to be like that. And when your relationship with God is flourishing, so will your other relationships in your life. They too will flourish where you live, where you work, where you play, and where you study. They too will begin to flourish. When your relationship with God is flourishing, everything else in your life will flourish, friends. There's never been a revival or an awakening to the good news of Jesus that did not begin in a prayer room with a people on their knees before God. There's never been a marriage healed, a loved one returning to or coming to faith, a crisis in a nation peacefully resolved, physical healings and health breakthroughs and spiritual deliverances and wholeness, bondage to addictions broken. So often, like Pastor Chad Veach puts it, we worry about everything because we pray about nothing. But we want to change that in 2024 for somebody. But instead, my prayer for you, friends, is that you and I would learn to always pray first. Like we worry first, we talk about it first, right? We argue about it first. We fight about it even. Facebook about it even first. Gripe about it. Google it first. But instead, prayer, let's put up this slide first. Prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. Is someone with me this week, this year? Will prayer be your first response? Let's learn more. We're going to talk about it, though. So often when we treat prayer like it's an event, but scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. It's ceasing. It's all day. It's I pray first, whether it be one sentence here and another there, like, God, here I go, stepping into the meeting. Lord, I need the favor of God in this meeting. I need the wisdom of God in my conversation in this meeting, Lord. Like, before I send that text to somebody, I want to tear a strip off them for what they said. Hey, maybe if you just chose to pray first, you're going to be thankful you did. Nah, I don't think I'm going to send that text like I wanted to in that moment. Why? Because you chose to pray first and you gave Jesus an opportunity to share a little bit of conversation with you. Before you go to work and as you meal prep for the week, before you go to that class and take that test and meet up with that boy, pray first, friends. When I wake up, I can pray first. When I eat, I can pray first. When I'm about to go to bed, I can pray first. See, I can pray first throughout the entire day. And so often we don't pray until we need God, right? We've all been there, including me. What could your life look like if you were to choose to pray first in every circumstance, in every situation? So over the next four Sundays, we're going to unpack the principle of first according to God's self-revelation we call the Bible today. In fact, scripture points us to this in the very opening sentences of Genesis 1:1. He says, in the beginning, God. Genesis 1, that's the whole Bible begins with, in the beginning. And I believe this should become the motto for my life and for your life. In the beginning, when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to talk to Jesus first. When I go to work, when I go to the gym, whatever I do, I want to seek the face of God first and let him be in the beginning of my life and in my day. In the beginning, God, in the beginning of getting a new job, of getting married and going to post-secondary, uprooting your lives to move, purchasing anything more than $500 in your life. Friends, some of you need some boundaries in your life. You're going to pray first before I spend that $500. Maybe for you it's $100. I don't know what your budget looks like. But some boundaries, right? Like, what if God was a little bit more involved in your life in 2024? God doesn't want to just be part of your life. That is typically what God is considered as in the lives of cultural Christians. But we're pushing back against cultural Christianity, right? We want to be all in Jesus. We want to look more like you and talk like you. Transform our lives, our hearts, our conversations, Jesus. Like, he even wants to be involved in your shopping habits. Crazy. Your internet scrolling, right? Your Netflixing, your holidaying, your everyday driving. If you're anything like me, he wants to be involved in my driving. And sometimes I just don't let him be driving with me. Wait, God, watch this. Your everyday conversations, your friendships, like he wants to be part of all of it. And not only does he just want to be part of it, friends, but he actually wants to be the center of it, the center of your life, the center of everything you are and you do. He also wants to be first in your life. And the principles of first found throughout of all scripture that if you learn and practice, you actually become a beneficiary of this principle. God doesn't, you do. When you practice the principles of first in your life, you become the beneficiary of all the promises that scripture says is yes and amen. A couple pages later from our first scripture we started with, Genesis 4:2, we begin to learn more about this word first. And Adam and Eve, they had some lovely kids, and their kids Cain and Abel were having a worship service. Beautiful. But this is what happens, Genesis 4:2. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel brought fatty portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Notice here, Cain, the farmer, in the course of time, like when he got around to it kind of attitude, thought of it, remembered to, oh, right, he brought some of his fruits as an offering. But Abel brought his first and his best. the fatty portions of his firstborn of his flock, and God looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Why is that? Because God does, he does require to get the best of who he is for you to embrace this principle. Now, I believe you will still go to heaven without participating in what I'm going to teach you today. But just like speaking in tongues or kissing your wife or the gifts of the spirits, when you're in a relationship, you want all of what he has for you. Just like when you're in a relationship with your loved one, you don't withhold. You give each other your best. This is what God wants for us as well. And these are some of the things that of God that we can enjoy here and now as citizens who have been born again into a kingdom that is here and not yet fully realized. And because I want you, friends, in 2024 to experience all that God has for you, I want to make sure that I can do everything I can to teach you about these things. And then the choice is finally yours to make. Is that okay? One of the tragedies I get to experience as a pastor is that I get to see so many people just trying to get by in their spiritual life with just enough instead of knowing and enjoying all that God has for you. And I really want this for you, friends, that you would walk in the fullness of all that God has for you. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to enjoy that with me? The first principle I have for you, I'm going to give you three principles and four practices. I'm going to be a little bit teachy tonight, if that's okay. So like Kevin says, get out your notebooks, get out your iPads. Your memory is only as good as how hungry you are. So let's take out your notebooks. I want you to write these down because I believe if you apply these principles in your life, they will change your life forever. It truly will, Tony. I believe it. Three principles and four practices for you to live out so that you can begin to live in the fullness of God's plans and purposes for your life. He truly has a plan and purpose for you, friends. The first one is this: God must be first. This is our first principle up. God must be first, not secondary, on Sunday only, or when you need him, but first. One might say a priority relationship with God. A lot of us, we put our work first. Some of us put our money first. Some put their kids first. Some of us put sex first, food first, gaming, whatever, family first. Not even sounds right and holy, putting my family first. But if God isn't your first, your family won't enjoy the blessing that God has for that family. Because God's got to be first, because there's the principles of first that God blesses and God ordains, what we find throughout all scripture. Exodus 20 verses 1, it says, "And God spoke all these words." All of them, he says, "I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." That's little g. God says, hey, look at what I did for you first. I put you first, God says. I brought you out of darkness, out of enslavement, out of sin and shame in order to bring you out of Egypt and out of slavery. It cost God his first and his best. And his name is Jesus, friends. But here's what I want from you, he says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Let this sink in for a minute. It's not that God doesn't want you to have other nice things in your life that you love and that you enjoy. It's that he wants to be your first priority relationship. First love, not just first once as well, but first always your first love. Your first priority relationship. Every day, all day, when whatever you're doing, when you spend that money, when you tap that card, whatever, when you call that friend, when you look on the internet, when you are about to say something, where's God in this? Is he your first priority relationship in that moment? First love, not first once, but always first. Here's the second principle, is this: you put God first in your life by... We put God first by giving him the first of everything in our lives. This is how we put God first in my life. We put God first by giving him the first of everything. I can't teach this enough, church. And by the way, if you're new to Beloved, we go deep. We don't settle for majoring on the minor things here at Beloved City Church. We go deep. We talk about the meaningful things in life, to have the hard conversations. Now, we want you to be healthy as a follower of Jesus, not just follow Jesus as a cultural Christian. We want you to grow, and healthy things grow, and growing things change. So things are going to change in life. Why? Because you're growing. And it's not that we don't want you to change because we don't like you. We want you to change because we know that healthy things grow and growing things change. And so we're going to say, hey, I'm going to buck up. Let's go. Here's some things to talk about. So we believe this and we want to tackle the hard things so that you may champion all that God has for you. So not only does God want you to be first in your life, we put God first by giving him the first of everything. We're going to start 2024 off right off the top in the right way. The principles of first, meaning he's first in my marriage, first in my thoughts, first in my day, first in my problems, first in my career, first in my finances, first in my energy usage, first in my time management. Putting God first in my life is giving him the first of everything in my life. Leviticus 27 and 30 says a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, tithe of everything belongs to the Lord because it is holy to the Lord. See, the tithing or tenth principle that we find in scripture is not just a money principle. Would you give me the first of your year? Would you give me the first of your month? Would you give me the first of your week? Would you give me the first of your day? The first of every moment that you think of me? Your first words, your first portions of energy, a tithe of everything from the land belongs to the Lord because it is holy to God. Everything you own. Proverbs 3 and 9 says, honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and give him the best. God wants to be first in our lives, friends. And we honor God in return by putting him first, by giving him our first and best of everything. Now, here's the third principle, and this is where you benefit, whether you like it or not. This is God's spiritual order, and he seems to do what he wants to do. The first has the power to bless the rest. The first has the power in your life to bless the rest. Another way to say the first has the power to empower the rest. When you put God first in your life, in everything, by giving him your first and best of everything, God says, now you be getting what I be putting down, right? God is God's way. God honors his way. He always honors his promises when we do things God's way. He doesn't honor my way. He doesn't honor our culture's way, our host culture's way, our religious, cultural, Christian way. That's not God's honor system. Your good intentions, he doesn't even honor my good intentions. God honors his principles. God honors his practices. He puts something in motion. We walk in faith. We walk in obedience. God blesses and God honors and God restores and God empowers. His way, he's God. He's the holy one here in the relationship. He's the only perfect one. I know some of you think you're almost there. Don't kid yourself. We ain't got it all figured out, right? He's the only perfect one, all powerful and all consuming, all present, all eternal. This is God we're talking about. Scripture says in Proverbs 3 and 9 to 10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, I know there's not a lot of farmers in here, but every one of us were laborers in some vineyard or some farmyard somewhere. There is always an if and then. In scripture, if you would put him first, if you would bring your first and best of all, your everything, your crops, your first fruits, then your barns and your vats will be overflowing. See, we got this all backwards in our cultural Christianity. We give when we feel like we have the excess to give. It feels safe. It's comfortable, right? But that's simply in God's way of blessing. That's simply God's not God's way of principle and practices. It's not trustworthy, actually. And it's not generosity either. And you cannot experience the fullness of all that God and the blessings that God has for you when you be living out of order of God's principles and practices. He don't partner with darkness. Friends, there's no 50 shades of gray in your practices, by the way. There's God's way or your way. That's it. And I'd be trying to be doing my way way more than God's way. And God's saying, hey, friends, in 2024, will you take a step to be all in and to put me first in every aspect of your life? Jesus said it this way, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Again, friends, we practice things backwards a lot of times. We seek all these things instead of God's kingdom first and his principles and practices first. And we expect God to keep up with us. Keep up with my spending habits, God. Bless me now, oh Savior. Seek my agenda, God says. Seek my kingdom first. Seek my way, my will, my... Why? Because we serve a holy God, friends. My principles and ordered living, my holiness, then, if you, then, these things will be given to you as well. Just you watch, he's saying, how involved I will be in your life when you seek me first, when you put me first in everything in your life. Just you watch what's going to happen. And I hope, friends, that some of you will walk out of here with a fresh revelation of where you've been holding back from practicing the principles of first in your life. Because I know God wants to give you all that he has for you and so much more than you can even imagine. Yet he is ordered and he's holy and he lays it out for you in his self-revelation. Do you want to know how to practice my principles? Open up my word. Learn of my ways. Let my spirit talk to you. Let my spirit teach you and guide you in all my principles. He plainly tells us how to live in his kingdom of overflow and in his land of abundance. We've just been living on the other side of the fence. That's all. And we peeking over every once in a while. I'm like, guys, still there? Oh, you're still close by at least. You just partying, spending my money however I feel like it, doing, looking, whatever, lusting after that next thing, whatever it is in our lives that we fill our heads and every space of it with. God's still there. But man, if you could just skip the fence and live in the land of overflow, what could 2024 look like for you? Right? Live in his backyard, not yours. In his kingdom, his principles, his ways. God has so much for you. But you would just be doing it on your own. Hey, God's saying, come on. I've got some things I want to teach you. Now, I know there's some of you here in the room who desire to experience all that God has for you. And sometimes we just be playing, I know. And so I'm going to just be straight up and challenging you and taking these steps right off the bat in 2024. Let's not be playing. Let's not be holding ground. Some of you will still be losing ground in your spiritual practices. But here are four practices for you to engage your faith in 2024. Let's start the year off God's way and see what God will do in response to your obedience. All right, first step. You ready for this? First one. Number one, give God the first of my year with prayer and fasting. Be all in for the next 21 days. Find a way to fast. Fasting is simply just putting something that you love aside for someone that you love more. And so when you say, I'm going to fast video gaming, I'm going to fast food, I'm going to fast Facebook, instead of just being like, da-da, take up the next thing to do. No, spend that time with Jesus. Yeah. Spend that time in his word. Then now you're doing something for real. You're not just going hungry, right? Be all in with prayer and fasting. Come on out Monday nights for the next 3 Mondays and press in and talk to Jesus. Learn how to pray with your brothers and sisters corporately as well. It's pushing the plate away and then taking that same time you would have used to eat your dinner to seek the very face of God. Like God's going to get the first of my year with prayer and fasting. Jesus took the first steps he took before he ever preached a sermon, ever healed anyone, ever performed any miracles. First step he did, he got baptized. And some of you, that's going to happen soon in 2024. Baptism tank's going to be open in a few weeks. He got baptized. Then he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what does he do? He goes off into the wilderness for 40 days and fast and pray. This is how Jesus started his ministry. And the Bible says this in Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Even Jesus knew, friends, that his source of strength, friends, your source of strength doesn't come from who you are, who you know, and your dope abilities, right? but that he needed to be connected to the Father so he could be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Then he went about doing what the Father had sent him to do. Why? Because God was with him. And friends, I want this so bad for you. If you and I could get this into our hearts and our minds and into our spirit. Friends, you and I are, we're great people, but we're not that great. Nor have much figured out, right? We're still trying to figure things out. I don't know why we keep thinking we can do things our own way and still get the best that God has for us. Who's fooled here? When even Jesus humbled himself under God's authority and spiritual order and said, God, I'm going to pray and fast for 40 days and 40 nights in preparation for what you want to do in my life. So I encourage you, friends, take a step. We're only doing 21. Thank the Lord. Some of you are like 40 days. Push something away. Food, video games, sports, TV, media. I'm committing this time to spend with Jesus to put God first. And if you don't know how to fast, here are a couple quick ideas for you. I've got it up on the screen for you as well, too, just real brief. We've got a couple ways that you can do a complete fast, which is water or liquids only. You can do a selective fast, which is the most common one being the Daniel fast, where it's no meats, no sweets, no breads for 21 days. That's what Daniel himself did when he prayed and fasted. The partial fast, this is like skipping lunch and dinner or dinner for 21 days. And lastly, the soul fast. You can do all of these if you want or a part of them, meaning I'm pushing away those things that are polluting my soul. Like Kevin said, like Facebook and media, Netflix and whatever it might be, news, broadcasting, whatever. A soul fast. Pick something and then come back and join me on Monday nights to pray together for the next 3 weeks. God wants to reveal himself in your life in a powerful way in 2024. Friends, this is a year for taking ground in your life. Here's the second practice. Another step I'm challenging you to take in 2024. Give God the first of your month with tithes and with offerings. We're talking about practicing the principles of first. Tithes or tenth, meaning the first of your first fruits belongs to God. A tenth, friends, is the starting line. We see this throughout the entire scripture. God has ordered our first fruits. Tithes is not something that we give to God. You can't give what belongs to God. That isn't yours in the first place, right? You can't give it. It's yours to bring. Tithes are already his. The first of your first fruits belongs to me, we see in scripture. So what do? We bring them back to him through the local church, the spiritual house that feeds you and that nurtures you. God planted you here to be a contributor. So don't be a spiritual consumer and neglect to bring back to your spiritual house what belongs to God in 2024. Church, team, leaders, tithing to your local favorite charitable cause isn't tithing, right? These are basic principles of first. Some of you have been faithful in this, and some of you have taken steps and strides to be faithfulness, and some of you have neglected to be trustworthy with God's money. God's saying, hey, 2024 can be a fresh year. You can be trustworthy with the money that I've given you to steward. Bring me back what belongs to me. Now, offerings, this is where you get to be generous. This is giving above and beyond what is already God's. See, scripture says in Deuteronomy 14 and 23, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God in first place in your life. If you can't tithe, it's because you don't trust God to be first place in your life. This can be a year when you say, God, I want to learn how to trust you differently in everything that I give, in everything that I do, in everything I bring back to you. I'm trusting you because it's your money in the first place. It's your health. You've given me everything that I have and who I am and the blood that pumps through my heart and the breath that comes through my lungs. You've given it to me. And so I want to give you back a tenth of everything that I have, including my time and my energy and my finances. I practice this in my life. Many of you do. Our church practices this as well. We tithe as a church, as an organization of our first fruits back into the mission of Jesus Christ. We're for our city, for our nation, and for our world, just like we heard last week. This is how we bring back to God what is already his, because we want to practice the principles of first as a church. Scripture also says in Malachi 3 and 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. That's the place you worship, not a charity or another organization that aligns with your values, but where you worship, friends. that there may be food in my house. God says this. And then he says, test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed. They be looking over the fence instead, saying, what in the world? This church is blessed. For yours will be a delightful land. Flourish, says the Lord Almighty. How in the world are you even thriving? You used to be so blessed because you understand and practice the principles of first. And I want this for you, friends. The lie that many swallow is that the church just wants more money. No, the church doesn't want your money. The church wants you to get your heart right with God. That's what it's all about. It's a matter of trustworthiness. It's a matter of trusting God with my first and my best. I will bring it and God will do the rest. As a consequence of getting your heart right, you'll tithe. But it's a byproduct of having a changed heart, friends. The principles of first is a heart condition. By the way, teens, young adults, learn and practice these principles young. Don't wait till you be old. There ain't no junior Holy Spirit or senior Holy Spirit. There ain't no junior or senior blessing in your life. Start practicing the principles of first. As soon as you have 10 cents in your bank account, practice principles of first. If you be working, start practicing biblical stewardship right away. Why wait? God wants to bless you. God wants to walk with you. God wants you to learn what it means to have a heart that says, I trust you, God, in my finances. Why? If you're faithful in the small things, guess what he's going to do with the big stuff? All right. I know I preached in a tad bit there. Here's the third challenge I have for you. And this one, give God the first of my week. With what? Consistent church attendance and a true Sabbath. And I'm going to just preach at the choir for a moment. So not only Sunday from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., I'm challenging you, friends. I'm talking about giving him the whole day. The Bible talks about making the Sabbath day holy. I know we do church at night. We be doing church at night. Woo! All the way home. If we could do morning, we'd probably do morning too. Maybe we do church all day someday. I can't wait till we have 10 services. That's right. We're going to have fun. It's the whole day. It's your Sabbath day. This is your holy day, God. The reason so many of us aren't rested Monday is because we haven't learned to make the day a holy day. We be working, we be recreating, we driving all over Kingdom Come, hiking Mount Benson by noon and swimming the channel by 3 and then dragging our knuckles in by 5. Now, God's saying, hey, why don't you make the whole day holy? The whole day a day of Sabbath and rest. Friends, I'm challenging you in 2024 to learn to rest on your Sunday. Let it be the first day of your week where you rest the whole day and you come and worship Jesus together. We'd be all rested up. Some of us, we can't stand being still or being with our family or something. We'd be running the roads like all day. Oh my God, I'm going crazy. Let's learn to Sabbath again. Rest up and then come to church and bring your first and bring your best. As you worship and as you serve and as you tithe, like go all in, be loud and jump high and lift those hands and clap them unto Jesus because you'll be excited. You saved up all day for this one. How do you dance like that? I don't even know how do you dance. I mean, I rested for this. Right. Jesus had the same custom, friends. We're not just making this stuff up. Luke 4:16. Jesus, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. This was a whole day thing for them, as a custom. Jesus had this custom. He set the whole day aside, friends. Try it and see what God does in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your workplaces, in your finances in 2024. I'm over 4 minutes. Look at that. It counts backwards. Amazing. Technology. I'm taking new ground in 2024. We're carrying on here. Number 4, in closing, here's the last practice I want to challenge you with, and that is give God the first of my day with the word, worship, and prayer. Is anyone learning something here tonight? You got a couple notes? The first of your day. You know, we've talked about the first of your year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. We've talked about the first of your month with tithes and offerings. We've talked about the first of your week by attending church and giving a full Sabbath day to the Lord. And now the first of your day. Jesus did this as well. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went back to bed. No, he got up, he left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Wow, I know. I'm going to challenge you guys and girls. Get out of bed before the sun's up and get into the word, into worship, and into prayer. Jesus did this, right? The psalmist David did this as well. In the morning, Psalms 5:3, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and then I wait expectantly. Waiting doesn't mean sitting around all day. That means serve, by the way. Then I serve expectantly. Now, I know we can pray all day and all throughout the day, but I'm telling you this, there's something special, friends. When you get up early in the morning and give God the first of your day, it doesn't even have to be long. Keep it simple. Let me show you how. Here's what you can do. And here's a slide for you too. Give him your first 15. I know you got 15 minutes and you take showers longer than that. The first 15, 5 minutes in the word, 5 minutes in worship, 5 minutes in prayer. Really simple, friends. 15 minutes as well. Some of you just got set free right there. Ooh, praise break for a second. Some of you just got 15 minutes. You can change your day. We've been making it so complicated, and no wonder you don't want to do it, right? You thought you had to climb Mount Benson, sound the shofar, wave three flags, and then climb back down and go to work, and I've got no energy left, God. Well, come on. Let's make it simple, right, Spencer? 15 minutes I can give to God. Word, worship, prayer, throw the shofar out. You'll be good. Crazy, right? You got to get the kids to school even. Test this and see. Give him the first 15 of your day. Your day is going to be different. Trust me. Friends, I know God has so much more for you than you are currently experiencing as I'm closing. I also know that you are what has been in the way. Me too. And I know this will help us, help you, grow you, will change your life. This is a year for taking ground. You can't take ground keeping doing what you did last year. It's probably going to hurt a little bit. Your wallet's going to look different. Bank account's going to look different. Your scrolling history is going to look different. Maybe even your friend circles might look a little different in 2024. Why? Because you're taking ground for your marriage. You're taking ground for your finances. You're taking ground for the energy you have. You're taking ground for the kingdom work that God wants to advance through you and in you. This is the year, and I want to do everything I can to help you learn what it means to put God first in your life. If you will come along with me, you'll see God respond to your obedience and to your faith. And turn your life upside down like you've never experienced before. All around the room, let's pray. Eyes closed, heads bowed. A little background music for us, if you could help me with that.